Hey everyone, it's Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And you're listening to The Wheat and the Chaff. Thanks for being with us. We are jumping in today in a bit of a blind session as we kind of just
let the mic roll
and let the mouth speak, and maybe something good will come together at the end. Or not. And that's what the delete button is for. A few things. So, first of all, I'll start with this. This morning, I believe I sent to you what has to be your Christmas present. I don't understand the Facebook algorithm sometimes. Sometimes I do. There are plenty of times where I'm like, oh, I totally understand why they're showing me this. There are sometimes, though, where I don't know why they're showing me this, and this is one of them. So I popped onto Facebook this morning. Basically, I was going to put up a nice, sappy, romantic note to my wifey because it's our anniversary today, and I was like, I'll do it. I'll do what must be done since social media demands, and I will put something up that signifies this day. And before I could do that, I am met with an ad. And the ad is for the Joel Osteen. Hold on, I gotta pull it up. You've got it there, right?
I have it.
Okay,
have it.
What is it again?
It's the
Joel, I know, I just don't know how it's termed.
Called the Inspiration Cube.
The Inspiration Cube. And it's like 400 of Joel's hand-picked messages all saved to the device. And at any moment through your day, you just can pop a button, hit play, and the inspiring, fresh words of Joel Osteen will elevate your soul and lift you to your best life.
You know what,
now.
Let me just tell you this. If you don't think like Facebook and all these other social media companies are watching every move you make on your phone, after Travis sent me this, I went on Facebook like a few hours later.
Yes, you got it. Yes. Yes. See, this is... But so that's what I'm saying. Like, I have no idea what I came across that Facebook was like, you'd be interested in this. I can't think of anything this week even that I looked at.
Start putting things like, I don't want to call it Joel bashing, but maybe negative things about Joel, so maybe Facebook goes, oh, maybe they are.
Here was the one thing I could think of, was as we were just discussing before we jumped on here, my week has been a little interesting. I had a tree come down on my car.
Yeah.
It's been one of those kind of weeks where it's like, it's just been a bit of a melancholy week, right? Like, there's nothing bad, but like, you know, there's nothing great going on right now. I've been kind of looking forward to the weekend, but there's a lot going on. And, you know, so that was the only thing I could think of, is that perhaps my phone listening to me has understood that I am a little down.
Maybe Joel was listening.
That I needed a pick-me-up of some Joel Osteen with his Inspiration Cube.
It says, with a single touch of a button, I want to help you overcome.
I know it.
Negative thoughts.
I know it. Like, obviously,
receive God's promises and live your very best life.
Obviously, Facebook has been like, hey, we've seen that you've not been your happiest self this week, and we felt like you needed your personal Joel Cube. Here's what I really want to know. First of all, I looked into it, right? And my first thought was it was some kind of spoof ad. No, totally legit.
You thought it, yeah, I thought
totally
it
was legit. I thought it was like, I thought it was going to be some kind of bad, you know, spoof ad, parody ad. No, totally legit. Now, if you look, you'll notice that the suggested donation for the device is $50.
I didn't go that far. So I was curious because I didn't want to click on the ad because I didn't want to get more of them.
So this is, I went ahead and I bit this bullet for us.
Good.
All right.
You'll get all the ads.
I will get the ads. I will endure my next 2 weeks of nothing but inspirational stuff. I also used the word televangelist a few times yesterday in a different conversation about things going poorly in the faith. And I there's a part of me that was like, who knows? It might have just been like, wow, he sounds bummed and he's looking for a televangelist. Here, behold, the Inspiration Cube. Facebook marketing at its best, people.
That's a suggested donation of $50.
So I went ahead and bit the bullet, went through the thing. It's a suggested donation of $50 to have it sent to you for your love gift. However, and this is where, honestly, I'll explore this a little bit more probably later today. It gives you the option for other. And in a little asterisk, in microscopic print, make the donation of your choice to receive this free item. And so there is a part of me, it's like...
So what if I put zero?
I don't know. And that's what we will find out later today. Is I will find out, well...
Maybe we should test this.
Let's find out.
Actually put zero in and see if they
send me an Inspiration Cube. honestly, I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Here's the other thing I'm curious about. Let's say you're not like me, right? Let's say you don't read the fine print.
Yeah.
Let's say you put $50. Who would pay $50 for a device that's not internet connected? Right? So it's like listen, you want to listen to 400 messages from Joel Osteen? Here, I have this nifty thing. It's called a smartphone and the Spotify app. And I can stream any message I want to hear from Joel at any time at all. But for some reason, people are willing to pay $50 for this plug-in device that streams nothing. It comes preloaded with the messages, is my understanding.
So
it's not even like it's an app. It's not like it's a... It's like Joel's version of Alexa featuring only Joel.
So you bring up Alexa because I was just curious. I want to see how much it would cost to... So this is about the size of an Alexa Echo Dot.
Right, which I think like $35?
$40 on Amazon.
Okay.
So it's $10 cheaper to get an Amazon Echo Dot... That can stream music.
That you can connect to Spotify and listen to all the Joel Osteen you want.
And you can ask it to order you all the Joel Osteen books you want.
So,
hey, Alexa, order me Joel Osteen books.
Do you know?
It will.
You know how many Joel Osteen ads we're about to receive over the next few weeks?
Oh, my gosh.
You know how many times we just said his name? The internet's listening, man. Anyway, I will probably, just for the sake of the experiment now, I feel like it's a road that I need to go ahead and finish.
I think I may too.
And we might need to see if we're like, you know.
Both put in zero.
Let's see what zero. I might even be willing to put in a dollar.
I don't think I'd go that far. You put in a dollar.
You go zero. I'll go the dollar, and we'll see who shows up with one. And frankly, both of us will still have overpaid.
Yeah. I'm curious. Can you put it in negative?
I don't know. Like, Joel, you actually owe me.
Joel, will you pay me in this?
Here's my other concern. It's like, and this is where I have to take a look, because there's part of me goes like, is it the kind of thing where, you know, you put in any donation number that you want, but it's always going to be $29.99 in shipping? You know, like, is it one of those kind of scams, right? Like an as seen on TV? Because it feels and sounds like one of those as seen on TV things where it's like, hey, this low price, and you only pay shipping and handling, which will only be the exact same amount as the device itself. So I just imagine in some poor, you know, old granny scraping her her pennies together to drop $50 on the Inspo Cube and then paying another $15 in shipping and handling.
I could almost hear Joel on a Sunday talking about this device. Maybe some story about a poor widow who puts her last two pennies in to get to receive the blessing of the Lord.
Listen, here's my hope. My ultimate hope is that if this thing is what it promises it will be, that we could then somehow get a hold of Kenneth Copeland's marketing team. Because if I could pair it with a device that simply sings that COVID song over and over, like maybe it's like an alarm clock. Like if I could basically wake up to Kenneth Copeland blowing COVID with the breath of God, and then followed up immediately by tapping the button and Joel just brings me my my best sermon now. I mean, what better way to start your day?
You know what Kenneth Goldman should do is like breathe into jars and then say, "This is the breath of God." And so he opens the jar. You got Kenneth Copeland's breath coming.
I feel like Peter Popoff's already done something like that.
I'm sure.
Peter Popoff was the one who did the waters from Chernobyl. I don't know if you remember that one.
No, I don't remember that one.
Peter, just a few years ago, Peter was running his scam of, you know, for like 14, for whatever your love offering.
Yes.
And which would preferably be like $15 and some shipping costs.
$200 shipping.
But he would send you a small vial of the waters from Chernobyl, from the waters that ran outside the river of Chernobyl, where according to Peter, during the nuclear meltdown, the Christians of the area gathered in this like forest right where this river was.
Sure.
And it was supernaturally protected from all of the radiation and all of the blah 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 blah, right? And it's like so the water is somehow like magical. And I just thought that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, and all I can think of is like, you know, five guys out back of Peter Popoff's, you know, mobile broadcast trailer, you know, sitting there with a hose and all these little plastic vials, you know. Oh, televangelists. God love them or not. At this point, I don't care. You know, the anyway, so there's that's the latest in the inspiring world around us. We also have a little bit of some fun because there was a vice presidential debate. Did you get the chance to watch this one?
I didn't. I heard about the fly.
Did you hear about the fly?
I did hear about the fly. But before we get into the vice presidential debate,
yeah.
I have to mention this because we need to explore the world of Twitter. So I don't know if I brought this up last time. I don't think I did. But I brought up, I think, Eric Metaxas before.
Yes. And we've talked about him before.
Author, very conservative. I would say he, you know, for a while, I loved his books and read, you know, some of his books. For a while, that I was okay. Now I've realized, wow, he is definitely probably far right, very far right leaning.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has made some news recently because he sucker punched a guy at a anti-Trump protest.
Whoa!
Like him and his wife were walking, and you know this guy just took him out, huh? And so he just ran up and sucker punched him off. And the guy was riding a bike, and then he proceeds to run backwards.
Okay, so now you just. You know, when you said he sucker punched a guy, I was not with him. I was like, all right, that's too much. But then you said he did it to a cyclist. And part of me went, oh, okay, now I'm at least understanding some things.
Yes.
I mean,
so,
you know.
Now he's making...
I kid. I'm not wishing ill to cyclists.
No. Now I
mostly.
Now he's making some headlines within the Christian Twitter world.
Okay.
Because he is, after, you know, the president's diagnosis of COVID.
Right.
And, you know, he is... You know, seems to be recovered from it, which is, you know, that's a good thing.
He's probably waters of Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's probably the waters of Chernobyl. Or it could have been Kenneth Copeland Blue. But it's...
Actually, Donald Trump hasn't spoke you.
Yes, he probably does.
It gives him all of his evangelical speak for the day anyway.
Yes, that probably does. So Eric Texas had tweeted something about, you know, his recovery, and he used this phrase, "Who is like unto him?" And I'm like, that is fairly odd language because
it's quite King Jamesy.
It's very King Jamesy, and it when you find that in the King James, it refers to one person who
is. Was he referring to God in this? He was referring to himself.
Referring to Donald Trump.
Oh,
like unto him.
Oh my gosh! Because yes.
So now you've used language that is found in the King James, yes.
Right.
Referring only to God.
Yeah.
And now you've used it to.
I'm pretty sure, like it's in like the Psalms. I feel like it's like one of those phrases that kind of comes up over and over in the Psalms. Though, like that tends to be like a who is like unto him, who reigns above, who is lifted on high, all that kind of stuff, right?
So now this brings to the vice presidential debate, and he talked about Biden. Vice President Mike Pence and praising him for his performance at the debate. With, you know, I didn't watch it, but whatever. And he says, "Who is like unto him?" Again.
Wow.
Using biblical language that is meant to refer to. I feel like if David were here, I don't know if David wrote those words. I'm sure he probably did in the Psalm somewhere or something like it. I'm sure.
We'll go with Hebrews. Somewhere it is written.
I'm sure David would probably take a sword to him.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy, frankly.
Any of the prophets would say, you know what? I feel like Elijah would be like, hey, you, Eric, why don't you go over those prophets of Baal over there? And hey, the rest of you guys, go slaughter them. Not to say that I'm advocating for killing Eric Metaxas, but...
No, but like, there's an appropriate response when someone basically is off to, you know, go blaspheme.
Because that is straight blasphemy to use.
I mean,
that,
that's pretty...
And that's very purposeful.
Yeah.
Because nobody talks like that. That's not an accidental, like, oh, that was autocorrect. No, it wasn't. That wasn't autocorrect. You purposely did it twice.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Referring to President Trump and Vice President
Pence. Well, and it tells me that you come from a King James way of speaking, right? Tends to be like... I don't know. You know, I'm at a point where it's like I grew up initially with the King James Bible. Like, that was my very first Bible. It's probably most people's first Bible back, like, at least in our generation, right? Like, I'm sure all the new kids nowadays get, like, NIVs as their first Bible.
I think King James is the first Bible,
yeah. Yeah, but it's like, you know, like, even New King James would probably still use that terminology just because it's New King James, you know, but it would still probably have that same phrase. But it's hard because while, like, there's a part of me that appreciates that era of first reading and studying it, I also look back and think halftime did not really understand what it was saying because it was massively outdated as far as grammar and verbiage. Secondly, it reminds me now of so much of like more of the fundamentalism, you know, like of people who were like King James only groups that were basically like they would speak normally at anything, but as soon as they got churchy, you know, it's like it was like the King James language suddenly turned on in them. You know, it was like people who in normal conversation would have no accent or would just have a normal regular dialogue and cadence and things, but then they got into church and it was suddenly like Jesus. You know, yes. Like that kind of thing.
Or like, I call it like the prayer voice. You know, when you get the pastors who
talk
normal, and then all of a sudden they say, let us pray.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord. You know, and it's like, bro, dude, you were just talking normal.
Right, and so it's like you've got your prayer voices come on. Yeah, like I feel like that's what it immediately connects to. So anytime I hear someone immediately lead with the King James, regardless of where they are, my initial reaction is to sit there and go like, because it's just like, where are you coming from? Because my background is that you are either about to go seriously Southern, seriously gospel, and not in the good way, or frankly, some kind of weirdo fundamentalist. So.
Yes, and isn't this bad that he would use that type of language purposely to refer to the president and the vice president? I don't care who it is. I don't care who the president, vice president is. I don't care who anybody is. You cannot use that language to refer to anyone other than God who sits enthroned above. Because that's what it's referring to.
But there's
who
a
is
whole,
like unto him. There is no one like unto him.
But there's a whole group of people, which you and I encounter, especially on social media all the time, who basically view every Republican president as you know, kind of this, you know, prophecy-fulfilling figure.
Who is like unto him.
Who is likened unto him. And for some reason, specifically, so I don't know, maybe I'm just misremembering, frankly, but I don't recall, on the Republican evangelical side of things, I do not recall the amount of kind of religious fervor for, like, say, George W. Bush, as I do see for Donald Trump.
Or even his dad.
And I'll be honest, like, I was a little younger when George Bush was president. Yeah, I was, what was that? It was like early 90s, I think, right? Late 80s, early 90s, if I recall.
Yeah, because he was part of...
I think he was 88 through 92.
He was part of like Desert Storm and, you know, that...
Yeah, so I think he was 88 through 92 because I think Clinton came in 92, right?
Yes, Clinton came in 92 and had two terms and then George W.
And then, right, so... so like I vaguely remember Reagan...
Yeah, I don't.
Just remember the idea. Like he was on TV every now and then, and we were happy that there was, you know, that we had a president, right?
Like that was the worst when he'd be on TV because back then you didn't have like really cable,
right?
And he was on every
show. Right. So like anytime the president was speaking, it was like, and everything fun tonight got canceled because this guy's going.
Actually, we did have the cable box where you push the buttons.
Oh my goodness!
But my parents chose to watch the president's speech. In that room, the only room with cable, and I'd have to go in my room. I had a little TV.
Had to twiddle the little antennas?
I guess it was on everything. It was the worst.
But yeah, that was the thing. Like, I don't recall with either of the Bushes, and again, first Bush, I just don't... Honestly, the only thing I really truly remember about the first Bush's presidency is the Gulf War.
Yeah, that's...
That's really the only thing...
That's all I remember.
That's all I remember was all of the news of the Gulf War. Yeah, you know, to me, George Bush, Scud missile, Saddam Hussein. They are synonymous, right? Like, you just... I cannot remember any of this without thinking of Scud missiles.
Yeah.
You know, and that we had to beat Hussein.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember George W. having this kind of...
No.
Almost this worship, almost.
Yeah, like
It is getting to the point of that.
Yeah, I mean, I recall, like... There. I think there was a lot of people who felt like, well, he's the candidate for the quote-unquote religious right, he's mm-hmm. the conservative Republican candidate, he holds to the conservative values, he's a man of faith, blah, blah, blah. But none of this, like, just fanatical... Obsession.
You know what's weird? You know what's weird about this? If you look at George W., now whether you agree with him or not as a president, that I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about how he was as a person.
Yeah.
He is friends with the Obamas.
Yeah.
Even though they don't agree.
Yeah.
There's been, I saw like, I think Ellen DeGeneres, like,
Right, yeah, I think they were at a ball game or something like that together.
About how nice he was, and they're friends, and they're hanging out.
Yep.
And then, we're talking about this whole, like, there wasn't this almost idolatry of George W. like this, but there is with Trump, and Trump's always bashing his opponents.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, he never says,
like, oh, that's great. The only time you've ever heard him be somewhat presidential and not bash his opponents is when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And he was actually like, oh, that was actually presidential.
Let's talk Ruth Bader for a second here. Let's talk some RBG.
Yeah.
Do you believe in reincarnation? And did she come back as a fly to land on Pence's head?
Man, she came back as a fly. What's she doing?
That's the problem, right? Like, I don't know if this is the perfect trolling of our RBG. Like, is this her perfect troll move? Or is this like, actually, you were very wrong, and so you've come back as a lowly fly? I don't know. I just thought the concept of, like, you know, she reincarnated as a fly and landed on Mike Pence's head. I just feel like somewhere in the world things will have completed. I don't actually believe in reincarnation, but it just tends to be one of those things where it's like, if you're going to have a laugh at something, that's a good one to have a laugh at.
Yeah.
Like, if Ruth Bader was sitting there going like, hey, listen, give me a fly. I've got someplace I got to be.
It was
the most awkward 2 minutes of television watching that fly sit on its head. And I don't know why. Because part of me wanted to feel like, dude, could land on anybody's head.
I know, that's what I was saying. Everybody's like bashing Pence for this. I'm like, if a fly landed on your head,
you wouldn't know. Especially you think about the amount of stuff, like, to get someone TV ready, you know, the amount of, like, hair product and all that kind of, like, it's probably shellac to his head. It's like a shell at that point, you know, a helmet.
It's basically he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah, so it's like there's no way he's going to feel something. But and of course, the downside is, like, it's, you know, people are like, you know, why doesn't someone say something to him? Why doesn't, like, one of the, you know, even, like, you know, the moderator or Harris, why don't, and I'm like, because we're getting the value of up-close HD cameras, or in this case, probably a 4K camera. They're actually 12 feet apart.
They're a lot far.
Yeah, they're 12 feet apart with all these different lights and angles and a plexiglass shield.
You can't see.
Poor dude.
I know.
I just thought it was super awkward because all I wanted to do was move the fly. It was just so perfectly stable. Like, all I could do was, like, I remember sitting there watching it, and it, even in my own chair, I kept, like, moving my head and, like, kind of wiggling my head, trying to move it for him, and it just wouldn't go. So, yeah, I just thought that one was funny. It was just like, perhaps Ruth had a plan.
Maybe.
Zippy, zippy.
Maybe.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. At which point, I did have a friend who, a pastor colleague who I know him personally. I don't actually, I could guess at his political standing, but I couldn't say I actually 100% certainly know it.
Yeah.
I do know his love of debate and discussion and his admiration for those kind of events. And so he was scoring kind of the rounds as the evening went on. And I watched as many people around his congregation or from his community just lost their ever-living minds anytime he would score a point for Harris, to the point where, like, one guy was just like, I can't believe that the pastor is, you know, openly declaring, you know, his position for politics and breaching church and state. And someone's like, you know, we're on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
This is not a Sunday morning worship and service, and he's preaching for an endorsing candidate.
And you, like, know there's tons of pastors who do this every Sunday, right?
Right. From the pulpit, endorsing a candidate, right?
Endorsing a candidate, which is against the law.
Do you think they should lose their status?
Yes.
Okay, I do. I do too. I've always, like,
and I'm not saying that to say, like, I'm anti-church, and because I'm
not. As pastors, we're very anti-church.
No. But I am anti mixing politics with the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Because now, when I say that, I mean how we have mixed politics with the kingdom of God right now, because. Now what you have is a problem. You have a problem where if you don't vote Republican, you're not a Christian.
Mm.
Which John MacArthur has said.
Yes.
It's like, and I saw a video earlier today from 4 years ago of John MacArthur at a conference criticizing President Trump, criticizing Donald Trump before he was
as a candidate.
As a candidate, how can you vote for this guy who's had multiple wives and all this? And this is him going on. But now he's saying, if you don't vote for President Trump, you're not a Christian. And it's like,
this is where it'd be useful to package those kind of things into, like, say, a small device that I could play back. Like an inspirational cube of John MacArthur, and that way I could be like, oh, 4 years ago you preached this way.
So,
and because it never updates, because it's not connected to anything, those things he said 4 years ago will still be true.
So I think that's the problem we face now. Yeah. So and then, like, on the other side, like, you vote for Democrat, you're a baby killer.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, but you know, Republicans haven't really done much to abolish abortion. There has been some laws passed to try to constrict it and this and that, but Planned Parenthood is still getting funded by the government. You know, we say, like, defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And Trump has said that he's going to defund, but he never did.
Right.
And then you've had, like, oh, we get a new Supreme Court justice who will overturn Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade has been around for a long time. It's never been overturned.
Yeah, I don't think that. Personally, I'm at the point where I don't think it will ever be overturned. I think it's as you just pointed out, I think the precedent that have been established, I think the length of time that it's been in place, I don't think you could overturn it. I think you could probably make some modifications. I think you could probably make some amendments, as we do, which is what we still do.
That's still what we do.
I mean, that's just how laws work. I mean, we'll get some Schoolhouse Rock here, and we'll let the how a bill is made play again.
I'm not super liberal either. I'm very conservative, but I'm just looking at, like, we cannot assume somebody's faith, or we can't tie politics with somebody's faith so closely like we have.
I would have a little more concern, honestly, you know, as well of, you know, if you overturn it, what plan is in place from the church or from the Christians who want to overturn to then provide care and provide the different support systems that would be needed for these mothers who now will have children, for these people who are going to go into, you know, this next stage of life. Like, basically, I worry about people who want to overturn something and don't think through the what comes next steps. Okay. Right? Like, it's almost like, it's a little dogmatic. Like, it's a little bit like, that's all you see is the overturning of this thing in order to make your kind of, like, you know, social victory. But you don't have any plans in place for what comes next. And I feel like that's just as great a disservice to our community and to our society and to those people who are, you know, kind of having to walk through some of those processes or ask those hard questions. It's as just as much a disservice to them to take something away and then provide nothing for them as it is to kind of, like, open the gates of everything and basically say everything's fine. So, like, I'm very torn in how I stand with some of it, but I feel like it's one of those things where, in general, if I had to go with my gut, I don't think anybody's overturning anything anytime soon. I think that the church would be better served figuring out how to serve its community, love its community, support its community, support people who are in hard decisions, who are in hard choices, who are having to face difficult situations like that. Show more grace and more compassion and mercy. And you probably would have to deal with some of those outcomes less. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we should be like Jesus, right? Is that basically
what you're saying? So, yeah, as an anti-church pastor, what I would like to point out is just be a little more like Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think what pastors should do is just encourage people to pray before they vote and just vote and make the decision. And whatever decision you make is not going to condemn you to... It's not going to exalt you to heaven or condemn you to hell.
Ooh, big words.
Yeah.
Big words. That's
who is like unto me?
Who is like unto you? I'm gonna make you an inspirational cube. Yes. we'll just get a package of all this wisdom. Listen, for your donation of $50, dear listener, we can create a device that will put all of the episodes of this program.
And if you can't donate
at your fingertips,
if you can't donate $50, we just ask you to pay shipping and handling. That's
right. That's right. It's gonna be it's a mere $200 shipping and handling. You can look for the app. It will be labeled Spotify, but it's really ours. Hey, we got to wrap up for today. We will check in with you guys next week.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.